Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, January 28, 2022. Section A. City decides not to relocate Air Park, by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland will send the FAA a letter saying it does not intend to pursue the closure of Midland Air Park. After discussing Air Park at the City Retreat on Thursday, Mayor Patrick Payton told Airports Director Justine Ruff to write the letter and he would sign it. The conversation started after the council discussed a priority from the airport department on obtaining direction on the future of Midland Air Park. There were no members of the council stating Thursday that they had an appetite to move the air park to the east side of Midland International. The council learned that a hard number of the infrastructure required to move Air Park, the airport in North Midland, was $124 million. They also learned that the appraised value of Air Park property was $9 million. There might be a buyer that would pay $25 million if it were sold as a private airport. Ruff said that letting the FAA know that the city is not closing Air Park will help the city receive more FAA support for airport projects, including future projects at Air Park and possibly on developing the east side of Midland International. Securing the land on the east side of Midland International for future expansion also was listed as a priority. That expansion would start with the purchase of land that would cost as much as $8 million, most of which would be covered by a healthy airport fund. It was during last year's planning session that city leaders talked about moving Air Park, which is located north of Claydesta and Midland College. Those opposing the idea of moving Air Park included the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. The Reporter Telegram previously reported the Federal Aviation Administration stated the City of Midland would be required to pay a large portion of $5.3 million in FAA and Texas Department of Transportation grants as part of any closure of Midland Air Park. Payton said during the process that no decision had been made, that city leaders wanted to have an open mind about Air Park, and that a decision would be made when questions about costs and other issues were answered. City Council discusses priorities for fiscal year 22, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council spent most of its Thursday planning for the future. City leaders met with department heads and other staff members at Bush Convention Center, being briefed about 2021 and setting priorities for 2022 and beyond. It was the first planning session that included the two newest council members, Robin Poole and Dan Corrales. The priorities included increasing the number of Midland Police Department employees, specifically adding 5 officers to Seth Herman's roster annually. This addition goes above and beyond the 27 vacancies MPD currently shows. Herman did say that number was 52 3 years ago. Other priorities included the Utilities Department refinancing the debt for the T-Bar Ranch pipeline. City officials said that refinancing would allow the city to take control of T-Bar from the Midland County Freshwater District Number 1 as lower annual payments that are set to balloon from $17 million to $30 million later this decade. On the utilities front, other priorities called for the renegotiation of the city's contract with the Colorado River Municipal Water District, the repurposing and relining of the Peggy Sue 95 million gallon reservoir, and the creation of additional storage at the water purification plant. Officials said the reservoir project could lead to an improvement in water quality and taste. Development Services priorities include completion of a one-stop development office staffed by employees of code administration, planning, engineering, and fire that is expected to help developers reduce the plan review time on building projects. Another priority is the creation of a citizens access portal that will allow for inspection requests to be made online, for certain standalone permits to be made online, and for online checking of permit status and inspection results. One expectation, according to the council, is to reduce the amount of bureaucracy and developers must contend with. When it comes to community services, city leaders called for more information on the acquisition of land for more parks and estimates on the costs of expanding current or building new senior centers. General Services was the department bringing the higher dollar items before city leaders. The council said prioritizing a new city hall and its $52.428 million estimated cost, but wants to take first steps to bring Midland Utilities Service Center complex online. The estimated cost here is $16.9 million, but most of that money is expected to come from funding available already. When it came to engineering, even department leaders didn't mind if Midland leaders put on the brakes. The road bond enters a critical year with the Garfield Street rehab set to take place. City leaders did say they wanted to see progress on the Wadley Avenue extension in West Midland, on Todd Road at the north of Loop 250, and Golf Course Road and the second phase of Briarwood. Fire department priorities start with the building of a new training facility. City leaders then called for the upgrade or replacement of stations numbers 4, 9, 8, and 1. Priorities will depend on money available to pay for projects and, in some cases, the ability to complete them. Jose Ortiz in engineering said Thursday there is so much work taking place across the city and region that it is hard for the city's construction partners to get to all the projects. There just isn't the manpower. Parks Legato announces dates for farmers market. Parks Legato Town Center announced 5 dates for farmers markets this year. Vendor applications for the 2022 Farmers Market are now open. To sign up, visit parkslegato.mymarket.org. Barbara P. Bush to speak at event. The 9th Annual Buckner Shining Hope Luncheon will feature a conversation with Barbara Pierce Bush, co-founder and board chair of Global Health Corps and daughter of former President George W. Bush and First Lady Laura Bush. Buckner Shining Hope Luncheon will be from 11:30 to 1 on March 1st at the Midland Country Club. The fundraiser will benefit Buckner Midland and its Permian Basin programs, Buckner Family Pathways, and Buckner Foster Care and Adoption, according to the release. Executive Director of Communications for the University of Texas Permian Basin, Tatum Hubbard, will host the luncheon and moderate the conversation with Bush. The luncheon will include remarks from Albert Reyes, CEO and President of Buckner International. The Buckner Luncheon will feature a VIP meet and greet opportunity for sponsors to speak with Bush in a smaller group and take pictures. Tables to accommodate groups of 12 people are still available for the luncheon, and tickets can be purchased by visiting buckner.org/events. Buckner Midland is a faith-based, nonprofit ministry dedicated to transforming the lives of vulnerable children, families, and seniors in the Permian Basin. Pierce Bush co-founded Global Health Corps in 2009. It mobilizes young leaders to solve the world's most pressing health issues. Since founding, GHC has placed more than 1,000 young leaders on the front lines of health equity in Burundi, Uganda, Tanzania, Malawi, Rwanda, Zambia, and across the U.S., developing a cadre of compassionate change makers. Pierce Bush is a fellow at Schmidt Futures, a future Adventure Facility and Foundation for Public Benefit, focused on technology and society, shared prosperity, and scientific benefit, where she supports racial justice, global health, and COVID-19 investment and programs. Beverly Sue Fields passed away on January 19th. Graveside services will be Monday, January 31st at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Graveside service is under the direction of Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Glenna Lee Scarber passed away on January 25th. Services will be graveside only at Rest Haven Memorial Park, Saturday, January 29th at 11 a.m. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Macy Hunt died on January 22nd in Fort Worth. Macy will lie in repose from 12 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, February 13th at Wade Funeral Home. She will be laid to rest at 10 a.m. on Monday, February 14th at the Dallas-Fort Worth National Cemetery. Clayton Ward Smith passed away on January 24th. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday, February 4th at the Branch at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, February 5th at the funeral home. Edward William Corey passed away on January 18th. Professional services conducted by Ellis Funeral Home. Mary Tucci of Midland passed away on January 25th. Graveside service is set for 2 p.m. Saturday, the 29th at Westlawn Cemetery in Henrietta, Oklahoma. Arrangements were made with Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Orlando Arciaga passed away on January 26th. Rosary will be held on Friday the 28th at 7 p.m. at the Branch of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Mass will be held on Saturday the 29th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Ralph Way passed away on Thursday, January 27th. Memorial service will be held on Saturday, February 5th, 10 a.m. at First United Methodist Church. Private family burial will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Rosa Caraveo of Midland passed away on Tuesday, January 25th. Viewing will be Sunday, January 30th from 5 to 9 p.m. and Monday, January 31st from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Tuesday, February 1st at 10 a.m. at the funeral home. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, January 28th, 2022. ECISD Executive takes time to support teachers, students. In early December 2021, Ector County ISD Executive Director for Leadership, Corey Seymour, issued a challenge to all administrators. Over Twitter, Seymour asked them to teach a minimum of 30 minutes a month for classroom teachers. The post said teachers could use this time for a mental break or a simple pause. Quote, "It may not sound like much, but it is certainly a start," end quote, Seymour wrote. Now, once a week, Seymour puts his social media where his mouth is at Noel Elementary School, a grade 3 through 5 campus. He joined Irma Rizzo's 4th grade math class Thursday. Quote, "I know that just in education in general, we're having some struggle. The foundation of making sure that our kids get to where they need to be starts with our teachers," end quote, Seymour said. Quote, "Many teachers are burning out, and teachers, they're having some struggles. We wanted to give them a break from that," end quote. "When you think about it," Seymour said, "most people in the central office were teachers at one time." Quote, "And I always tell myself I'm still a teacher. I'm just in a different position. I just have a different title, but my heart is still the heart of a teacher. And that's kind of why I have brought up that idea. We have all this experience. We've done all these different things. Let's go back and support our teachers and go back and teach our kids," end quote, he added. Seymour oversees 10 campuses. His administrators were going into classrooms even before he issued the challenge. Quote, "They provide examples for the teachers. I do lessons for the teachers because that's my cohort of principals. They have the mindset of making sure that they're going to do whatever they need to do so kids can be successful," end quote, he added. He added that it has refreshed his teaching skills. Quote, "It makes me truly realize how education continues to evolve. When I was a teacher, we didn't have the internet, end quote, Seymour said. Now technology is a big part of how students learn and everything they do. Quote, it just keeps me abreast of the challenges that teachers have, the methods that they have to teach, and allows me to reinforce those things and help them with that stuff. But I love teaching. It's one of those professions that I think is underappreciated. So to be able to come back and provide that, it's always exciting, end quote, Seymour said. He added that he also enjoys connecting with the students. Quote, sometimes you get in other positions and you don't get to come back and see the kids. The most fun I have is when I'm on campuses, end quote, Seymour said. Seymour took a seat at a semicircular desk and sat with three students in Rizzo's class to review math questions involving money. Principal Jenny Chavez said small group instruction is where students come to work on individual skills they might be struggling with or need a little extra help in. Chavez said the teachers love having Seymour visit. Quote, they see it as support. They don't see it as intimidation. They know he's our number one supporter, so he's helped with after-school tutoring. He's been in our PLCs, professional learning communities, during our meetings with the teachers. They know that he's just here for support and help, so they enjoy it, end quote, Chavez added. She added that Seymour also offers advice, ideas, and suggestions. Chavez said he also does walkthroughs, and he'll sit on the floor with them in third grade, for example. When he doesn't make it to a student's classroom, they'll mention it. Quote, they look forward to it, end quote, Chavez said. Rizzo said she likes having Seymour visit. Quote, he keeps us motivated, end quote, Rizzo said. Quote, he definitely keeps us motivated, end quote. When the students know Seymour is in the building, they get excited, and when they know he's coming to her classroom, they get, quote, very, very excited, end quote. Rizzo said it does help lighten the workload a little bit, but they work the same every day, no matter who the visitors are. Quote, we like to teach students what they need to know, so whenever someone comes in, I think it's just an added bonus that they're really following expectations, end quote, Rizzo said. This is Rizzo's first year at Noel, and she's worked for the district for 4 years. Her favorite teacher quote is, quote, I want to be to them what I need when I was their age, end quote. Quote, so I love my job, end quote, Rizzo said. Fourth graders Maya Lucio, 10 and a half, Omar Almarez, 10, and Joe Aiden Flott, 9, all like having Seymour as their small group teacher. Seymour was using play money with his lesson. Lucio said it was really cool. Quote, I think it's a fun experience, end quote, she said. Almarez said having Seymour teach him was really great. Quote, I'll never forget this experience because I need to learn more, end quote, he said. Almarez said using the manipulatives helped him learn more easily. Quote, it helped me learn a lot because I love to learn, end quote, he added. Marine vet and his family get new home. Just a little over 5 months ago, U.S. Marine Corporal Ray Lopez and his family were surprised with the news that they would receive a custom-built mortgage-free home. On Thursday, Ray and his two daughters, Madison and Sarah, were given the keys to their newly completed house as a dedication ceremony was held outside their home. Operation Finally Home, along with Silver Leaf Homes, partnered up to build the house and host the dedication ceremony. Quote, it feels amazing, end quote, Lopez said of the new residence, which is located on 2101 Congress Street. Quote, it's a great feeling, it's a great day, and it's just a little surreal. It feels unbelievable, end quote. Operation Finally Home is based in New Braunfels and is a nonpartisan, nonprofit 501c3 organization with a mission to provide homes and home modifications to military heroes, first responders, and widows of the fallen. Representatives of Operation Finally Home and Silverleaf Homes were on hand Thursday to welcome the Lopez family to their new home. The Lopez family was escorted to their new home by the Odessa Police Department and the Odessa Fire Department, along with the Patriot Guard Riders. Operation Finally Home was established in 2005 and has done more than 380 projects since then. Quote, our founder was a custom home builder, but he never imagined where we would be 16 years later, end quote. Operation Finally Home project manager Ronnie Lyle said during the ceremony, quote, we started with a mission to provide custom mortgage-free homes to America's wounded, ill, and injured military veterans, as well as first responders and widows of the fallen, in honor to thank them for their courage and sacrifice. What a better way than to put a roof over someone's head and tell them how much we as a country appreciate the sacrifices they made, end quote. Lopez, who is originally from Kermit, was raised by his grandparents in Odessa. He went to school at Permian and played football before graduating in 2002. Lopez joined the military following the September 11, 2001 attacks. He went on to serve 4+ years in the U.S. Marine Corps from August 2002 to November 2006. During his deployment to Afghanistan in November 2004, Lopez's unit took on enemy fire while on foot patrol. Upon entering a house in the area, Lopez was hit in the chest with gunfire from a bedroom and could not return fire due to pain from the injury and a collapsed lung. He was eventually medically evacuated from the area. After receiving treatment in the United States, he returned for a third tour of duty in 2006. Lopez was honorably discharged in November 2006 after receiving a Purple Heart for injuries sustained in combat. However, he still deals with chronic pain from his chest wound as well as traumatic brain injury, TBI, vertigo, grand mal seizures, migraines, and tinnitus from a head injury. As a result of his experiences, Lopez deals with PTSD symptoms every day. Quote, I'm not going to lie, my faith was diminished for so long, and it was little by little that I was able to regain it, end quote, Lopez said during the dedication ceremony. Quote, all of you coming together and doing this for my family and I really appreciate it. We're super blessed, and through God, I've been more blessed than you'll ever know every day. I just thank God and look to Him. One thing I keep telling my kids is faith over fear. It's all that I have to live by. It's all that I can do to keep getting up in the morning and to not give up. I don't have to shoot for another day. I can shoot for thanking. I can shoot for thanking God for the day that was given. Each one of them is a blessing, and it's even more of a blessing to be in this new home. I greatly appreciate it. End quote. The ceremony concluded with a ribbon cutting. Quote, it's awesome, end quote, Silverleaf Homes co-owner Drew Wegman said. Quote, we've been working on this for a while, but to see the Lopez family walk through the front door for the first time and to see the smiles on the kids' faces, it just makes it even more special, end quote. Program offers free child care. The Texas Workforce Commission is providing subsidized child care funding with an emphasis on the service industries, as they were hit the hardest by the COVID-19 pandemic. The targeted industries include arts, entertainment, and recreation, accommodations, food services, and retail. A news release said the commission's goal is to assist as many qualified families as possible. Qualified families will benefit by receiving child care services at no cost for 1 year. The deadline to apply is March 31st. The program is designed for expedited enrollment. Documentation required. Assigned Service Industry Recovery, SIR, child care application. Proof of citizenship, birth certificate, immigration status for the child, children needing care. Proof of employment in a TWC-specified service industry. Most recent check stub or employment verification form. Permian Basin Workforce Board CEO Willie Taylor said his last report showed they had 42 customers certified, but that's kind of a moving target. The funding is specifically for a year of child care for people in the service industry. Quote, those dollars were allocated from the feds down to the governor's office and Texas Workforce Commission, down to the workforce board. We received about $6.3 million. The state set a target of about 925 clients for us. There are 28 workforce boards across the state, and all 28 workforce boards were nowhere near the target, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, if we could get to that 925, it would have a tremendous impact because this is all about people going back to work, and that's key because that's what we want them to do to be able to, what we want to do to be able to do is go back to work, end quote, he added. He noted that child care providers have had issues as well with COVID. Attracting, retaining, and having enough staff are also factors. Taylor said the region has lost 13 providers from last year. He added that it is gratifying to be able to offer this service to the region. In gap analysis research, they found that the service industry was hit hard by the pandemic, and a lot of people were on the lower end of the wage scale and dropped out of the industry. Quote, so yes, it is definitely gratifying to be able to offer this service for them for 1 year free, because anytime people are going back to work, we're really happy about it, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, I just think it's a win-win situation as far as the community to move this forward, end quote, Taylor said. He added that people should contact their local workforce center with any questions. The Odessa office is at 2626 JBS Parkway, Building D. The phone number is 432-367-3332 or toll-free at 1-800-248-6451. MC announces official opening of firefighter training facility. Midland College held an official opening of its new firefighter training facility, which houses not only MC's Fire Science Technology program, but also its new dual-credit fire protection program. High school students interested in fire protection can now accelerate the time it takes to receive industry certifications and find a career keeping our community safe. Officials from MC, the City of Midland, Midland Independent School District, and Greenwood Independent School District were on hand to commemorate this partnership on Wednesday at Harris Field, 3215, Farm to Market 307, Midland. Quote, "It is crucial that as the Permian Basin continues to grow, we educate and train individuals for careers in fire protection," end quote. Damon Kennedy, MC Vice President of Instructional Services, said. Quote, "MC is committed to provide the education and training that prepares young people for careers that benefit our community, and we appreciate the partnership with Abel Hanger Foundation, Midland ISD, Greenwood ISD, and the city in making this happen," end quote. Abel Hanger Foundation has donated $250,000 to this exciting new facility. Quote, "We are proud to be such an impactful partner in this program and its new modern facilities because we believe it fulfills an important need to keep our community safe," end quote. Mark Palmer, executive director of Abel Hanger Foundation, said, quote, "It is imperative we train the next generation of firefighters. There is no better way to do that than by training them right in our backyard where they have grown up and plan to dedicate their careers," end quote. One of the many benefits to this and other MC/MISD college and career academies is an accelerated time to career attainment and industry certifications. Students are trained and ready to seek employment at much less expense than traditional high school to college programs. Quote, "Our dual credit programs can be life-changing for some students," end quote. Mikala Murdoch, MISD's Director of Career and Technical Education, explained. Quote, "The firefighter program is one of many pathways that open doors for students after graduation. We continue to explore opportunities to add programs that benefit students and the community," end quote. The dual credit fire protection program is open to 47 students annually. It is already underway with 11 dual credit students who have been training since August, 7 from MISD and 4 from GISD. In addition, 9 students from MC's traditional fire science technology program are utilizing the facilities at Harris Field, as well as 24 MC paramedic students. MC is providing students with hands-on skills training at Harris Field, which is operated by the City of Midland. MC also oversees student completion of state certification and licensure exams and provides access to student and academic support services, modular classrooms at Harris Field, and training equipment. In the dual credit program, the school districts recruit students, award secondary level course credit, and provide academic support services. The City of Midland Fire Department provides access to Harris Field training facilities and instructors to support the hands-on components of the training programs. Quote, "The job market for firefighters is different than traditional job seekers," end quote. Charles Blumenauer, Michael Midland Fire Chief, said, quote, "If a student knows in high school where they want to apply to be a firefighter, they should find schools that support that area and those departments' requirements. This program is unique because the City of Midland Fire Department supports the hands-on learning portion, and students can fit into employment after the program. I'm a proud MC graduate, and I am really excited about what this program means to for our community," end quote. For many years, MC and the City of Midland have enjoyed a successful partnership to provide preparatory and continuing education firefighter training for the Midland Fire Department. The new dual-credit fire protection program will provide an additional source of skilled and trained firefighters to the Midland Fire Department, as well as others in the West Texas area. This new dual-credit fire program expands the successful MC/MISD College and Careers Academies programs, which was started in 2017. Harmony Schools get FCC grant. The Federal Communications Commission has awarded Harmony Public Schools a $539,000 grant to connect low-income students with access to computers and the Internet. Harmony Public Schools is a statewide public charter school system with campuses serving pre-kindergarten through grade 12 students in 23 cities across the state, including Greater Houston, DFW, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso, Waco, Lubbock, Odessa, Bryan, Beaumont, and the Rio Grande Valley. Harmony's curriculum places a heavy focus on STEM skills, character education, project-based learning, and college readiness. The grant, a part of the FCC's Emergency Connectivity Act, will immediately supply 1,000 Harmony households with Wi-Fi hotspots to engage in online learning, if needed, or participate in Harmony's free 24-hour online tutoring service, TutorMe. The grant also will allow Harmony to purchase and distribute 1,000 Chromebooks to students who don't have computer access at home. Keeping students academically connected to their school studies and socially connected to their school friends have been key parts of Harmony's response to COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic. In the initial weeks of the pandemic, Harmony distributed roughly 4,000 computers and internet access devices to families. The STEM-focused school system also supplied science teachers and even some students with at-home 3D printers to help produce more than 8,000 face shields for local emergency workers at a time when such equipment was in short supply. Harmony Public Schools is currently accepting applications for both the 2022-23 school years for students and team members. Death Notices. Charles Lewis Ellithorpe, Odessa. Charles Lewis Ellithorpe, 73, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 22, 2022, in Odessa. Celebration of Life will be held at 4 p.m. on Friday, January 28, 2022, at 3914 Kenwood Drive, Odessa. This come-and-go celebration will last until 8 p.m. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors of Odessa. Donna Marie Kemp, Odessa. Donna Marie Kemp, 65, of Odessa, Texas, died Saturday, January 8, 2022, in Odessa. Chapel service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 29, 2022, at Odessa Funeral Home. Pastor Mike Bartlett is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home, 7511 of Odessa. Clayton Ward Smith, Odessa. Clayton Ward Smith, 37, of Odessa, died Monday, January 24, 2022, in Odessa. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 p.m., February 5, 2022, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, February 4, 2022, at the branch at NPW. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Sherry Lynette Four, Midland. Sherry Lynette Four, 64, of Midland, died Saturday, January 15, 2022, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 26th, from the Health and Wellness section. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on January 26th, from the Health and Wellness section. Beware of fake websites when ordering free COVID test kits. U.S. households can now request free at-home COVID-19 test kits. However, as is the case with other major government initiatives, such as stimulus checks, scammers are sure to try to take advantage. This time, be on the lookout for lookalike websites when requesting your tests. These scam sites may ask for payment or personal information, such as your Social Security number. How the scam works. You see a post or ad on social media or receive an unsolicited email or text about the free COVID-19 tests. These communications urge you to request your free tests immediately by clicking on a link. You follow the link to a website that looks official at first glance. It may have the United States Postal Service, USPS, logo, just like the actual website. It also has a form to request your test. However, when you start filling out the form, you notice something unusual. This fake version may ask you for personal information, such as your Social Security number or Medicare ID. It could also request your credit card details under the guise of needing to pay for shipping. The actual website does not ask for payment or your Social Security number. Before you know it, you have given up your information to a scammer. Tips for identifying a fake website. Look closely at the domain name. One way fake websites trick people is by using a domain name that is extremely close to an actual business's or organization's domain name. For example, the correct COVID-19 test website is https colon https://www.covidtests.gov. Again, that is https://www.covidtests.gov. Scammers may swap two letters or make a slight misspelling. If you find a spelling error in the domain name, you're not on the official website, and it is best to close the tab. Also, check if the website is secure by verifying it has a lock icon in the URL and includes HTTPS. Watch out for tricky domains. Sometimes attackers hope you will confuse a subdomain with the domain name. For example, a scammer might use the website address usps.faketestkit.com. Again, usps.faketestkit.com. Hoping you won't notice that faketestkit.com is not the correct domain name. A domain name is the word or words directly before the top-level domain, .com. .org, .gov, etc., as well as the top-level domain. In this case, the domain name is actually faketestkit.com with the subdomain USPS, whereas the correct website's domain name is usps.com with a subdomain of special. The correct website also asks only for your name and address. You do not need to pay for the test using even the shipping. And you will not be asked for insurance details, your social security number, or any other sensitive information. For more information, visit bbb.org to learn more about identifying fake websites and spotting imposter scams. Read about other popular COVID-19 scams and additional testing scams. If you've spotted a scam, report it to the BBB Scam Tracker, even if you didn't fall victim or lose any money. Your report can help others avoid common scam tactics. This is Jane reading from the Wednesday, January 26th, Midland Reporter Telegram from the Health and Wellness section. Pfizer begins testing on COVID shots designed to fight Omicron. New U.S. study will include up to 1,420 volunteers ages 18 to 55. Pfizer is enrolling healthy adults to test a reformulated COVID-19 test that matches the hugely contagious Omicron variant to see how it compares with the original shots. Pfizer and its partner BioNTech announced the study on Tuesday. COVID-19 vaccine makers have been updating their shots to better match Omicron in case global health authorities decide the change is needed. Omicron is more likely than previous variants to cause infection, even in people who have been vaccinated, but it's not yet clear that a change to the vaccine recipe will be ordered. Among the issues regulators are weighing, some of the first places to face an Omicron surge already are seeing the mutant wane, and there's no way to know if the next variant that arises will resemble Omicron or be totally different. The original vaccines still offer good protection against severe illness and death. Studies in the U.S. and elsewhere have made clear that adding a booster dose strengthens the protection and improves the chances of avoiding even a milder infection. Another wrinkle in deciding whether vaccines need an update. A new U.S. report on Tuesday echoes data from Britain and South Africa that Omicron infections cause less severe illness, at least in part because so many people have some protection from vaccinations or prior infection. During the Omicron surge, 13% of hospitalized COVID-19 patients ended up in intensive care, compared with about 18% during two earlier waves, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Still, we recognize the need to be prepared, even in the event that protection wanes over time, and to potentially help address Omicron and new variants in the future, Katherine Janssen, Pfizer's vaccine research chief, said in a statement. The new U.S. study will include up to 1,420 volunteers, ages 18 to 55, to test the updated Omicron-based shots for use as booster or for primary vaccinations. Researchers will examine the tweaked vaccine safety and how it revs up the immune system in comparison to the original shots. Full study results will take many months as volunteers receive multiple vaccine doses and as researchers measure how long virus-fighting antibodies remain at high levels after an Omicron-adapted dose versus the regular booster. Pfizer CEO told NBC earlier this month that the company could have some Omicron-matched doses ready as early as March. But doing what the company calls at-risk manufacturing doesn't mean those doses will be rolled out to the public. Pfizer and other vaccine makers also have brewed and tested experimental doses to match previous variants, changes that ultimately weren't needed but offered valuable practice at tweaking the recipe. For the new study, one group of about 600 volunteers who received two doses of the current Pfizer vaccine 3 to 6 months ago will receive either one or two Omicron-based shots as boosters. Another 600 who have already gotten three regular doses of the Pfizer vaccine will be given a fourth dose of either the regular vaccine or the Omicron-matched version. The study also will enroll some unvaccinated volunteers who will receive three doses of the Omicron-based vaccine. Pfizer plans to produce 4 billion vaccine doses in 2022 and said Tuesday the amount isn't expected to change if an Omicron-adopted version is needed. This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 26th, from the Health and Wellness section. Report: most adults don't eat enough fruits and veggies. Although fruits and vegetables are considered a key part of healthy eating, most U.S. adults are not consuming enough of them, according to a report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It found that only 12% of adults consume 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit daily, the amount recommended by the federal dietary guidelines for Americans. Even fewer, just 10%, eat the suggested 2 to 3 cups of vegetables daily. People 50 and older are more likely than younger people to consume vegetables regularly, and men are less likely than women to eat either fruits or vegetables. The report also found that fruit and vegetable consumption is less common among low and middle income people than Americans with higher incomes. Diets rich in fruits and vegetables, generally packed with vitamins and minerals, low in calories and high in fiber, offer a range of benefits. These include supporting immune function and preventing chronic disease, including some conditions that raise the risk for severe illness and death from COVID-19. According to the CDC, research has found that including adequate amounts of fruits and vegetables in your own diet can help lower blood pressure, aid digestion, keep weight under control, reduce the risk for cardiovascular disease and diabetes, and may protect against certain cancers, according to the Harvard School of Public Health. To add mental health benefits to the pluses of eating fruits and veggies, consider growing some of your own. Research has shown that such gardening can improve mood, reduce anxiety, enhance self-esteem, according to the National Institutes of Health.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, January 26th. This is the energy page. This article is entitled, Russia Struggles to Lift Oil Output, by Dina Krenikova, Bloomberg. Russia's operating oil wells reached the highest since OPEC and its allies joined forces. Yet bringing back production curtailed under the current deal remains elusive. Last month, Russia pumped oil from more than 155,600 wells, according to Bloomberg calculations, based on data from the Energy Ministry's CDU-TEK unit. That's the country's highest number of active ones on a monthly basis since at least 2017, when Moscow partnered with the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries in coordinating output curbs to rebalance the market. Yet, despite this surge in December, Russia's crude output that month dropped below its monthly OPEC plus quota for the first time since the alliance enforced record coordinated cuts. The figures show the challenge Russia faces in reviving oil output after the deepest ever curbs and reduced upstream investment. Over the next 6 months, Moscow may only be able to deliver about half of its scheduled increases in crude production, according to analysts. Russia is among OPEC plus nations that have struggled to bring back oil production curtailed at the start of the pandemic. Members of the alliance have faced a growing lack of spare capacity, a factor that could push oil prices higher through the rest of this year as global demand recovers. Russia expects to bring its oil production back to pre-pandemic levels by April or May, provided that its OPEC plus quota allows it to add 100,000 barrels a day every month, according to Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak. This is the Nation page. This article is entitled, U.S. Booster Push Falters, by May Anderson, Associated Press. New York. The COVID-19 booster drive in the U.S. is losing steam, worrying health experts who have pleaded with Americans to get an extra shot to shore up their protection against the highly contagious Omicron variant. Just 40% of fully vaccinated Americans have received a booster dose, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And the average number of booster shots dispensed per day in the U.S. has plummeted from a peak of 1 million in early December to 490,000 as of last week. Also, a new poll from the Associated Press-NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found that Americans are more likely to see the initial vaccinations rather than a booster as essential. It's clear that the booster effort is falling short, said Jason Schwartz, a vaccine policy expert at Yale University. Overall, the U.S. vaccination campaign has been sluggish. More than 13 months after it began, just 63% of Americans, or 210 million people, are fully vaccinated with the initial round of shots. Mandates that could raise those numbers have been hobbled by legal challenges. The U.S. and many other nations have been urging adults to get boosters because the vaccine's protection can wane. Also, research has shown that while the vaccines have proved less effective against Omicron, boosters can rev up the body's defenses against the threat. As for why an estimated 86 million Americans who have been fully vaccinated and are eligible for a booster have not yet gotten one, Schwartz said public confusion is one important reason.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, January 23rd, 2022. This is Section A. This is the page called Other Voices. This column is called Guest Views. It is entitled School Boards Are Important to Communities by Dr. Scott Murray. For the past 3 weeks, we have taken the opportunity to recognize, and say thank you to our Ector County ISD Board of Trustees for the work they do on behalf of students, families, and staff. January is School Board Recognition Month in Texas, and we are proud to join the 1,029 school districts across the state in honoring these unpaid public servants. School board members are elected to represent you, to be the link between the community and the classroom. Trustees set the vision for the school district, they establish policies to carry out that vision, and approve a budget to support that vision. In Ector County ISD, our school board members have created that vision, our students, the future, and have shown remarkable resolve and steady leadership in pursuing it despite the worldwide COVID pandemic. ECISD's strategic plan is laser-focused on three strategic themes: foundational excellence, talent development, and the learning journey of our students. Your school board has overseen a 40-point increase in SAT scores, topping the state by 15 points. Attainment of the highest graduation rate in more than 5 years. Expansion of pre-kindergarten services, full-day PK for 4-year-olds and half-day program for 3-year-olds, now preparing 1,800 children to be kindergarten-ready. A redesigned summer learning experience that increased participation to 5,400 students, up from 2,100, by incorporating robotics and computer science. An increase in the starting teacher salary by nearly $13,000 in 4 years, from $44,500 in 2017 to $57,000 today. Reduction of teacher vacancies by 300 since 2019. Adoption of balanced budgets. Perfect scores on the district's financial report to the state 2 years in a row. Clean financial audits each year. Early payment, refinancing of existing bonds the last 2 years that saved taxpayers $19 million in interest payments. Broadband internet projects, including the groundbreaking SpaceX satellite pilot, that have connected more than 1,000 ECISD families. Development of a facilities master plan, including bond recommendations from a citizens' committee. Several of these initiatives place ECISD on the leading edge of educational work and have gained state and national attention. Amazingly, this is not the full list of projects underway to transform our schools and our community. I am proud to serve as the superintendent of schools in Odessa, Texas. I am proud to take this moment to honor our Board of Trustees for their love of our community, their vision for students, and their determination to carry it out, no matter the circumstances. They deserve the accolades during this School Board Recognition Month. Scott R. Murray, EDD, is superintendent of Ector County ISD.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, Education section. MC Grad combines love of healthcare and teaching. As a child in Stanton, Heather Escobedo suffered pneumonia and relating breathing issues. She said that she never forgot those heroes who probably saved her life. My mother was a teacher, and growing up, I remember thinking that I wanted to be a teacher like my mom or work in healthcare like the people who helped me through childhood breathing problems. But then life got in the way. Instead of going to college, I got a job working at Sam's. I was there for 13 years, working my way up the career ladder from cashier to outside sales to supervisor. However, as a single mom, I really wanted a career where I could provide a better future for my two children. Remembering the healthcare professionals who helped her when she was a child, Escobedo decided to enroll in Midland College's respiratory care program and graduated with an Associate of Applied Science degree in 2007. I loved being a respiratory therapist, she said. I worked at Midland Memorial Hospital for just over 9 years, from 2007 to 17. In 2017, Escobedo was offered a position to fulfill the other part of her childhood dream, teaching. For 2 years, she taught 9th through 12th grade at Ector County ISD's Healthcare Academy. I had taught CPR to adults previously, but never taught youth. I found that I really enjoyed teaching and seemed to have a knack for it. In fact, I would have stayed with Ector County ISD. Even though we lived in Midland and I had to drive back and forth between Midland every day, I really enjoyed working with the students and I wasn't looking to change jobs. Escobedo explained that her current job as Midland ISD Health Academy Coordinator and Adjunct Professor in Midland College / MISD College and Careers Health Science Academy just fell in her lap. I was with my daughter at a MISD parent night, and we found out about the Health Sciences Academy. It was also mentioned that the program was looking for a coordinator and instructors. The job sounded pretty much like what I was doing in Odessa, so I applied, and the next thing I knew, I had the job. Escobedo now works at both Midland and Freshman High School and Legacy Freshman High School. She recruits students into the College and Careers Health Sciences Academy, coordinates curriculum, reviews and approves applications, coordinates the dual credit application process for the academy, and teaches intro to health and wellness and intro to health professions to ninth graders. Most high school teachers prefer to teach in the higher grades, but I really get a lot of satisfaction in teaching the younger students. They have no clue about all the various professions in healthcare. All they know are doctors and nurses. I have an opportunity to open their minds and introduce them to all the healthcare professions. In addition to covering health careers, the class also focuses on body systems. Most days, she is at Midland Freshman in the mornings and Legacy Freshman in the afternoons. She's passionate about the College and Career Health Sciences Academy program. We tell students about the Health Sciences Academy during the spring of their eighth grade year. It's amazing how many people don't know about the program, and it's such a great opportunity. Students are able to take Healthcare Sciences Academy courses from 9th through 12th grade. It's a dual credit program, and MISD pays the tuition. Students can graduate from high school with a Midland College Certificate in Health Sciences and take the state board exams for patient care technician, which includes certifications in certified nurse aide, phlebotomist, and ECG technician. They can also take certification licensure exams in EMT and pharmacy technician. Once they graduate from high school, they are immediately employable in a high-demand career field and have a background to continue their education in healthcare if they choose. In addition to teaching and coordinating the Health Sciences Academy, Escobedo keeps up her respiratory therapy skills by working at Encompass Health part-time, usually every other Saturday. In 2008, she married her husband, Alex, who is a hydraulics mechanic. Their blended family consists of 5 children, the youngest of whom is a senior at Legacy, and 3 grandchildren.
Better treatment for chapped lips. Dear Dr. Roach, for the past 2 years, I've had constant chapping and peeling on my lower lip only. It gets worse if I wear lipstick. I have quit wearing lipstick, but it still gets dried and chapped. My dermatologist has done a biopsy. It shows no cancer, basically a contact dermatitis. She really was vague on treating it, except to put Vaseline or Aquaphor on it. I use both, but it never goes away. What is your opinion, and is there a better treatment? MR. Answer. Allergic reactions on the lips are common to many products. Many lipsticks and lip moisturizers, including Aquaphor Lip Repair, contain castor oil, which is an allergen for some people. The treatment is going to be avoiding as many allergens to your lips as possible. This includes Aquaphor. Although it is a great product for many, a few people get reactions to it. Vaseline is essentially 100% petrolatum, which almost never causes any allergic reaction. So that would be the product I would most recommend. It is also possible that it's something else. Toothpaste can cause contact dermatitis to the lips, and so can mangoes, citrus fruits, and cinnamon in some people. An allergist may be necessary to do patch testing to determine what you might be allergic to so that you can specifically avoid it. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
old friends in new romance adapt to unfamiliar dynamic. Dear Abby, I'm in a new relationship with a man I've known for 30 years. We had our own lives, married others, had kids, and then split with our spouses. After all this time, we've finally gotten together and discovered we were made for each other. Neither of us has experienced this intense kind of love before. My problem is that although he tells me often that he loves me and cannot see his life without me, he never compliments me, whether I'm dressed up or just putting on makeup and looking special. I compliment him all the time. I have low self-esteem and insecurities due to previous abusive relationships. It's not like I want to hear it constantly, but it would be nice to hear it at least once in a blue moon. Also, there are times I don't think he finds me sexy or attractive. How can I express this without embarrassing us both? Signed, Needs Validation in New England. Dear Needs, have you told this man what you have expressed to me, that it's hurtful that when you make an extra effort to look nice for him, he seems to ignore it? Is he aware that you suffer from low self-esteem because of previous emotionally abusive relationships? Honest communication is important, particularly in new relationships, as well as those between partners who have known each other for a long time, although not on an intimate level. While the two of you are basking in the flowering of this unexpected passion, you still have to get to know each other. How he reacts to the conversation and whether he's willing to put forth some extra effort will tell you everything you need to know about a future with him. Dear Abby, my husband passed away 3 years ago. We were together for 1 month, shy of 32 years, married for the last 16 of them. I was so happy and proud to be Mrs. P. Since his passing, people have started calling me Miss P, and I'm very upset about it. Abby, my husband died. I am a widow. I'm not divorced, and I'm not single. I'm still married, at least in my heart and mind I am. Why do people think it's okay to call a widow Miss just because her husband is gone? And before you ask, yes, I have mentioned it to them, but some of them keep saying it. Truthfully, I feel like doing what the old AT&T commercial used to say and reach out and touch someone, lightly, on the jaw when they do it. Thank you for letting me vent. What do you think about this? Signed, Mrs. P. for life. Dear Mrs. P., the term Miss applies to a woman who has never married. You have earned your stripes. If you prefer to be called Mrs. P., that is your privilege. Those who are considerate of your feelings will respect your wishes and extend that courtesy. Give everyone who chooses to ignore your wishes a final warning, and if the person continues to address you as Miss, give them a wide berth.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.